You're listening to Breadbox Media. Find out more at breadboxmedia.com.
Welcome to Off the Shelf. I'm your host, Pete Sox, a Catholic book blogger. Today, we're going to be talking something that's very near and dear to my heart, and that's books, but in a different way. Usually each week I bring on an author, and we talk about the books they've written. Well, today's the same, but a little different. Today's guest is Vicki Burbach, and Vicki has written the book, How to Read Your Way to Heaven, a spiritual reading program for the worst of sinners, the greatest of saints, and everyone in between. This book is out from Sophia Institute Press, and what Vicki has done is she's created a five-year reading plan that takes Catholics through the Bible, the Catechism, and an absolutely huge plethora of books. Great titles from Frank Sheed, Pope Benedict, you name it, it's in here. This Tremendous Lover by Eugene Boylan. Mary the Second Eve by John Henry Newman. Scripture Alone by Joel Peters. 50 Questions on the Natural Law by Charles Rice. Again, a five-year plan. It's broken into little snippets, so it's easily digestible for readers. Very doable. You might read one chapter from Scripture, one chapter from the Catechism, and a few pages from every book. And at the end of 5 years, you will have consumed a lot of information, but slowly so that it can soak in, and it will give you the spiritual grounding that you need to go out into the world today. I always say that we are called to evangelize, but we should evangelize ourselves before we go out. And that's just my own opinion, but that's how I feel. This reading plan will do that. An absolutely incredible book. The reading plan's in checklist format, so you can check things off as you get done. And when you're done with the 5 years, you want to go back over it again. Substitute some other books. Vicki and I will be talking about that in the next segment and the rest of the show. There's some other things I wanted to cover today, and that's some other great books that are out there. Again, this show is about books, so we're going to cover books. We're going to talk about what's coming to the Catholic Book Blogger's house to review. And at any time, if I'm talking about it, I've likely done a review on it. So you can hop on over to www.catholicbookblogger.com. And you'll be able to see my reviews. You'll see links where you can purchase the books from Amazon. It's personally, I think, a great all-in-one resource. The shows will be linked to on the Catholic Book Blogger, so you have access to them. So visit, please. Great website, if I do say so myself, for anyone that's interested in books, particularly Catholic ones. Some things that have come in this week, I'm anxiously looking forward to read. The first one is Praying the Angelus by Jared Dees. Find joy, peace, and purpose in everyday life. This book focuses on the Angelus prayer. And Jared helps develop our interior life around the discipline of prayer. We all need to have a good prayer life. We need to. I'm lax in that sometimes, and I can tell when I am. A solid prayer life will lead you through life's troubles. We all have them. We've all experienced them. I've experienced them. That prayer life centers us. It brings us back to God, and it does one thing that He wants us to do, and that is to formulate a one-on-one relationship with Him. He's there for us. He's there to help when we ask. But that friendship's what we really need to have to grow as people, to grow as His children, and to ultimately end up on our last day when we take our last breath and we're standing before Him in Judgment Day, to end up in His glory in heaven, in the home that Christ created for us. So prayer is a big thing. So when prayer books come in for me to review, I do tend to stop and look at them because I think prayer is important. It's also a weak spot for some people. So these resources I think are great. And if you ever have the opportunity to read a book on prayer, take advantage of that. This one's Praying the Angelus by Jared Dees, and it's from Ave Maria Press. Another one that's recently come out by Ave Maria Press again, but I wanted to mention it, is Around the Table by Scott Hurd, retelling the story of the Eucharist through the eyes of Jesus' first followers. That, I think, is key about this book. I've skimmed through it, haven't actually had a chance to read it yet, but it's going to be read because I think this is important. 2,000 years later, we're consuming the Eucharist. I think everybody has an understanding, I hope, of what they are doing when they consume the Eucharist, of how important that is, of what it is, the actual body and blood of Jesus Christ through transubstantiation. But the important thing, I think, here with this book is to understand what early Christians thought of the Eucharist, what they knew in their hearts it to be, because that's where the truth lies. Actually, that's where the truth lies in our entire faith, is those early Christians, the first ones after Christ rose into heaven and left the disciples, the apostles, who then went out and spread the faith. Those people that first heard the faith, were taught the faith by the apostles, are the beginnings of the church. They knew the truth. They were getting the truth from the 12 apostles. So they understood what Jesus implemented. They knew that he was implementing the church, and they knew what he did at the Last Supper. That is so very, very important in understanding the Eucharist. And, you know, you talk about discovering the meaning of the Eucharist through the unique and imaginative stories of 14 biblical characters. That's what you had. You had 14 biblical people that were the original people spreading this, that Scott covers in this book, very early Christians. And they were all unique. Other than what power the Holy Spirit gave them, the thought process, the direction from the Holy Spirit, this was all new. This was a new church. These were new teachings they were spreading. But the Holy Spirit allowed them to do that. And it's important to look at that, to understand what the Eucharist and what all those teachings of Christ were really about. 2,000 years later, we hear messages from people of other faiths that are deluded, that are far removed from what Christ taught. You need to go back to the church fathers and understand that. You need to go back to the early Christians and truly understand what they were taught, because those were the foundational years of the church. That was the foundation of the teachings of the church. And that's where we should turn to get the facts. Another one that's not new, but that I love this book. Absolutely love it. Margaret Rose Reilly, who I'm friends with, has written a book about 2 years ago, I believe it is now. Excuse me if it's a little sooner than that. But the book's called A Catholic Gardener's Spiritual Almanac, Cultivating Your Faith Throughout the Year. I don't know who else out there is listening, but I like to garden. I use the square foot garden method. So if you do too, hey, send me a message on Facebook. That's one of the things I haven't asked anybody in these episodes so far. If you have any comments about any of the information that we have or about the interviews I have with authors, feel free to send me a comment on Facebook, either through my Catholic Book Blogger page, which you can like on Facebook, or my personal page, Pete Sox. Send me a friend request and we'll get connected that way, and you can comment on anything. You know, I challenge you, if you're listening to this show, tell me what books you want me to have the authors on for. Send me questions to ask the authors. I'm all for it. Let's get a community going, and let's make this show your show. As I'm interviewing the authors, I can be your channel for questions for them as well. I think that'd be pretty cool. So again, find me on the Catholic Book Blogger on Facebook or my personal page. Send me a message and we'll get hooked up in that. So, A Catholic Gardener's Spiritual Almanac. It's a gardening book for Catholics, is the best way to put it. Margaret goes through each month of the year and looks at different, shall we say, Catholic things related to gardening. Like, I'm just randomly flipped the book over. September, Saints for the Gardener. She looks at September 1st, Saint Fiacre. Hope I said that right. Patron of vegetable gardens. Blessed Teresa of Calcutta, patron of the poorest of poor. Saint Agricola, patronage for good weather and against storks. So she looks at different saints that are relative to each month, And it really is kind of cool. And she opens each one with traditions of each month, a brief opening section on, you know, the month itself, November. November is a difficult month to describe, not quite past autumn and not yet winter. Skies are often filled with heavy, dark gray clouds, and suddenly breaking the glorious sunlight, illuminating the few yellow leaves that remain on the trees. So that's a little bit what you can expect out of this book. A Catholic Gardener's Spiritual Almanac, Cultivating Your Faith Throughout the Year. If you're a gardener, you should pick this up. It's an interesting book. It's definitely a way to tie your faith and your hobby together. And say a few prayers over those vegetables. Maybe they'll produce more. Another book from Sophia Institute Press, Father Benedict, The Spiritual and Intellectual Legacy of Pope Benedict XVI by James Day. James has already lined up to be a guest on the show. We're going to talk about Pope Benedict XVI, who, in my opinion, someday will be a doctor of the church. What a massive amount of material he's written. Very good. Very deep, but very good. And, you know, Benedict offers our generation one of the clearest understandings of our world today. He championed the new evangelization, which was first spoke of by John Paul II. And, you know, he's incredible. His writings are unbelievable. If you haven't picked up a Pope Benedict book to read, I would highly recommend his Jesus trilogy. Start with the first book and you'll just be blown away. Incredible stuff. So with that, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with Vicki Burbach and talking about her 5-year reading plan in the book, How to Read Your Way to Heaven, a spiritual reading program for the worst of sinners, the greatest of saints, and everyone in between. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf. I'm your host, Pete Sox, a Catholic book blogger, and what a show we have for you today. It's a topic near and dear to my heart. It's how I came to become the Catholic book blogger some 4 years ago, and that topic is books, books, books. My guest is Vicki Burbach, and she is the author of How to Read Your Way to Heaven, a spiritual reading program for the worst of sinners, the greatest of saints, and everyone in between. Welcome to the show, Vicki.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
You're quite welcome. What a fantastic book. I've gone through it. It's incredible. Starting to implement some of the stuff you have in your reading plan, and we'll get into that here a little later. But first, I want to take a 10,000-mile overview of your book for people who aren't familiar with it. And one of the things you say in the beginning of it is you actually read your own way into the church, didn't you?
Yes. Yes, I did. Yeah. I also talk about I've met a lot of people on the way who I think, you know, were kind of meant to be placed in my path. Who were beautiful examples of people living out the faith, the Catholic faith, and I come to learn later that's probably where all that beauty and grace came from was their practice of their faith. But the first book I read was Rome, Sweet Home, and that just sent me on a journey. I mean, Scott Hahn does a wonderful job in every talk or every book of mentioning books that can further your understanding. Or that helps to further his. So I just kind of set out on a journey of reading from there. And I just fell in love with the truths of the church. And I did convert before my husband and I were married, and he is a cradle Catholic. So I did set out on a journey to start seeking, to start understanding based on just a beautiful example of what his family was like and what he was like. So I had an introduction to people who were Catholic, but the truths of the church just completely solidified the beauty and depth of God's plan for us.
Yeah, as you and I are speaking off air, one of the things I say, I really relate to this book, and you just said something that kind of, I think, is a reason I do. I myself converted. My wife was a cradle Catholic. I came into the church not having a clue about Catholicism. And a lot of things I did to learn was reading books. Room Sweet Home wasn't the first one I read. It was one of the ones early on for myself. I hit the RCIA type stuff in the fundamental books. But early on, before I started this apostolate with Catholic Book Blogger, the book that really brought me back, because I had a reversion experience, was Father Larry Richards' Be a Man. So I think everybody So I think everybody can relate to that one book that brought them full circle into their faith. And yours, obviously, is Room Sweet Home, as you've said. Now, what inspired you to write this book? Because it I can't imagine that this was an easy thing that you just sat down and blah, 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 wrote it out, done. Hey, I'm done. Because you actually went into some work to get this plan built.
Right. Well, I actually wrote the book portion. You know, it's broken into, we'll say, two halves. I think there's more than two sections. But essentially, the first section is the book, you know, my story and how this book came about and how to understand the notion of this reading program. And the second half is the actual program. I put the program together, I'd say 10 years ago, and I began using it back then. And it came as a solution to a problem for me, because I had, you know, I enjoyed reading like you do. You know, I was an avid reader, but I didn't have a lot of time to read. I was a homeschooling mom. I have six kids, and I knew it was really important to read sacred scripture. So I would read that for a little while, starting at Genesis 1, you know, and I'd get about to Leviticus and it'd get a little harder, and I'd want to pick up something more enjoyable. So I'd find a spiritual reading book to read, and I'd, you know, set aside sacred scripture, and I'd have that little gnawing on my heart saying, you should really be reading sacred scripture, you know, on a consistent basis. It's not something to pick up periodically. And so I'd read a spiritual reading book. And then another book that I always, the Catechism of the Catholic Church came out right around the time, I think within a year or so of when I converted. I converted in 94. And so there was a whole lot of talk about it, and I knew it was important to read, and I'd heard everywhere at that time that, you know, it should be read cover to cover, not just used as reference material. So I would try to pick up the Catechism as well, and I would read one or two paragraphs at a time, and, you know, I keep likening it to, it was like really rich chocolate for the soul. You know, I couldn't read a lot at a time. I had to read a little bit and meditate on that for a day, because it's so profound. Every paragraph is amazing. Not hard to read, just amazing, you know, beautiful. And so I wanted to be reading the Catechism, but I'd start to read it. And, you know, you're reading a couple paragraphs a day. And after a couple months, I would give up and think, I'm never going to finish this. And I'd move on to another spiritual reading book. So, you know, I was all over the place a little bit. And someone handed me Father C. John McCloskey's Lifetime Catholic Reading List. And I started to realize that most of those books on that list, most of the spiritual reading we do can fall within one of the four pillars of the Catholic Church as laid out in the Catechism. You know, the profession of faith, the liturgy and the sacraments, you know, the celebration of the Christian mystery, or life in Christ, how we actually walk through this life as Christians. And the fourth is prayer, our prayer life. And so I decided, you know, I was a homeschooling mom, and I realized if it wasn't on a to-do list, it didn't get done for me. So I specifically laid out each assignment for myself, came up with the idea of a 5-year reading program for myself, and just told myself I was going to lay it all out so that I could start it and not have an excuse to set it down and, you know, finish filling out the pieces later. And that's what I did.
Yeah. And that's the one thing I like, and we'll get into that reading plan a little later. Let's save that. In the beginning of the book, you know, in the first section, the one thing that jumped out at me, I think, is a very key point to make to people. You know, there's people out there, such as you and I, that don't have a problem sitting down and reading a book. There's people that are like, they'd rather, you know, have a pin stuck in their eye than sit and read.
Yeah.
there's a paragraph you have in here that I think's very important, very telling, and we can talk about it more, but I'm going to read that paragraph. It's under in a box. It's called Reading Readiness. Before you turn the page, find your calendar and schedule 30 minutes per day, 5 days a week, over the course of the next month. Don't simply record it on a list of items you hope to complete. Schedule time on your calendar, preferably in the morning. Over the next few weeks, use that scheduled time to read this book and prayerfully ponder your spiritual life, considering how an organized reading program might serve to enrich you. Seek guidance from the Holy Spirit as you consider the topics discussed in the following pages. I think that's very important, is to schedule that time every day. If you don't do it, if you don't put it on your calendar or set an alarm on your phone or somehow poke yourself to do it, you're never going to do it. You're never going to stick with it. And
that's right. That's right. We need health for the body and we need health for the soul. And just like exercise, you know, it's the same concept. Yes, we all know we need to exercise. Many of us often put it off. You know, if you just have it as an idea in your mind, it's a lot harder to get it done. And so, you know, you schedule your, you know, I'm going to go jogging at, you know, 6:30 in the morning. You will much more likely get up and do it. And it has to be a consistent pattern in your life in order for you to keep it up. And the same with, you know, that spiritual health for the soul. You have to take the time, schedule the time to do it, because, you know, we absolutely need it. We're not about this world. We are here for a greater purpose.
Right. So what's your time slot look like? How do you accomplish it?
I like it better now than I did, you know, 10 years ago. You know, I jokingly said in the book that, you know, when my kids were little, I literally could touch, you know, my big toe out of the bed and set it on the carpet to get up early and somebody in the house would be up. You know, so I just could not wake up early enough to have some early morning reading time. And I do talk in the book about how I think that's preferable. You know, if you read in the morning, and that is when I read now, when you read in the morning, you're able to meditate on what you've read throughout the day. You're able to apply it to your life that day in a much greater way. What I found a lot of times if I'd read at night is sometimes I'd kind of get lost in, you know, I feel like I'd get lost in my sleep and I'd wake up and, you know, jump in the shower and you kind of forget a little bit what you'd read the night before. However, you know, there are ways around that too, you know, just taking a couple moments to write things down and take a little 2-second look at that in the morning can help you the following day. But there always is an ideal. And if you don't have an ideal time, then my suggestion is you still make it happen and you work around, you know, the challenges.
Right. You just have to carve it out. Like, you know, we've just said, you know, and the point you made was about, you know, people take time for their physical well-being. You have to do the same for your spiritual well-being. And the only way you do that is by feeding yourself quality food, which is these spiritual books. I mean, I look at it this way. If you got time to spend every day reading a novel, then you should be able to carve time out to spend with God.
Yes, yes.
And that was my
downfall. As Catholics, we, you know, so often we can get caught up in going through the motions. And taking just a few minutes even each morning to center ourselves on that relationship with God and to, you know, to just grow in an understanding of the great gifts he gives us with respect to the sacraments, to our prayer life, you know, to what he calls us to in our daily lives as Christians, just helps us to go out and face the day in such a, you know, a much greater and more full way. And we can live out our faith, you know, as opposed to just kind of walking through it mindlessly.
Right, right. So again, we are here today talking to Vicki Burbach about her book, How to Read Your Way to Heaven. You're listening to Off the Shelf. I'm Pete Sox, your host, a Catholic book blogger. We're going to take a brief break and we'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf. I'm your host, Pete Sox. And today we're talking to Vicki Burbach about her book, How to Read Your Way to Heaven. And I love the subtitle. A spiritual reading program for the worst of sinners, the greatest of saints, and everyone in between. So that means all of us. Right, Vicki?
No, absolutely. No one will find themselves not fitting into that category.
Yeah. So the first segment, we talked a little overview of the book. As when you got further into the book, you start talking about Lectio Divina. And I think some people might have an inkling of what that is, but I think more than likely the majority of people don't have a clue what that is. So can you tell us a little bit about what is Lectio Divina?
Right. Well, you know, a lot of the popes have strongly recommended this as a method of reading sacred scripture. It's a way to kind of draw ourselves into the scripture passages and to really kind of place ourselves in the time and mind and heart of Christ as we read, you know, to just see what the Holy Spirit is saying to us in a much more fuller way than just kind of reading through words. So I hadn't been highly educated in the notion of Lectio Divina. I've done it in retreats as a participant, not as a leader. And I had used it in my own home a little bit, but I used Dan Burke's book, Into the Deep, Finding Peace Through Prayer, as a resource material for this because, you know, he's done a lot of research in this area as the founder of spiritualdirection.com. You know, so the idea is that you would read the passage and, you know, Dan recommends that you read out loud, you know, so you can just much more fully focus on the words of the passage as opposed to distractions we might have around us. You know, and then really meditate on the passage. Think about the time, the place, the words, the details, you know, where we are and how we can apply what Christ is saying to our own lives. You know, what in that passage is speaking to us, you know, where is it coming from, et cetera. And, you know, and just goes on from there. There are several steps. There is the reading and then the meditation. There is, you know, how we respond, you know, what is God calling us to do with respect to this passage? How can we take action in our lives? And, you know, and then to contemplate what what it is that this passage is telling us and how we can then take action to draw closer to Him in our daily lives for based on what we read. So, you know, I recommend, I just have a small summary of Lectio Divina in this book and then offer Dan Burke's book as a resource where he goes much deeper into, you know, a better understanding of it in simple terms, but in a much more full way of the history of Lectio Divina as well.
And I think if people start that practice, they're going to find that scripture holds a lot more meaning for them, because when you look at it, and in essence, what you're trying to do is stick yourself in the middle of that narrative. And
right,
I tend
right.
to find when I do that, the scripture kind of strikes me a little more in relation to what's going on in my life at that moment.
Right, right. You kind of notice it, things kind of stand out, and things that maybe you didn't even expect to stand out, but you feel the Holy Spirit speaking to you in a way that, were you just to read through the words, you know, you don't quite have the same connection with the passage, I found. So I've even been really surprised at what stands out to me, something I normally would not have imagined. You know, it might be something that seems completely, you know, a sideline to the story in the passage. It seems like that's the piece I'm supposed to focus on. And then through prayer, I realize, oh, there's a reason for that. You know, the Holy Spirit definitely will guide us in reading sacred scripture if we only allow Him to.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to start talking about the reading plan here a little bit. And I want to emphasize something to those listening today. We're talking a 5-year reading plan, and there's a reason it's that long. And it's to your advantage when you're doing it. It's because it keeps the snippets of time required for you to do this small. And let me go through maybe the first week. You know, in the day one, you have it set up that the reader's going to read Matthew 1, parts of the beginning of the catechism, Rome Sweet Home, the preface and the introduction, and then two other options. Day two, Matthew 2, and you're just moving through the cycle of these books that you're recommending. It's only a chapter, at most, two at a time to fulfill that day's, I'll call them requirements, but you know, you're not going to get punished if you don't get your reading done
right.
That day. We're not in high school here getting assignments.
That's right.
So it's manageable. It's it can be done.
Right. Yeah, the idea is there are no dates. There are no deadlines. There's a checklist there so that we can keep track of where we are. You know, and some people might find that they, you know, if time is of the essence and they don't have, you know, a 30-minute time slot, they might have a 15-minute time slot. You know, it should take anywhere from 15 to 30 to finish a day's assignment. But, you know, say I can only read a chapter of sacred scripture and a couple of paragraphs of the catechism today. Then tomorrow I would follow up with the reading from, you know, the spiritual reading book, that chapter, you know, Rome Sweet Home, in this particular example you mentioned. You're still going to get the same benefits of, you know, I talk about syntopical reading in the book, of, you know, you're reading the portion of the catechism and also books that align with that section of the catechism to kind of help us spend a lot more time in one area of our spiritual lives. So you reap the same reward. You know, so this is really based on your ability and your timeline, and it's only, you know, it's your program. So it might not take 5 years. It could take 10 years. That's not the point. The point is just really centering ourselves for, you know, 15 to 30 minutes a day on our relationship with God and, you know, just uniting ourselves to Him so that we can go out and face the day, which a lot of times most of the messages we get in our daily lives are antithetical to our faith completely. You know, so it kind of helps prepare us for that battle that we go out and must stand against every day, you know, and it's kind of critical for that.
Right, and you just mentioned, sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh, go ahead.
You just mentioned something that sparked a comment, and then we can get a conversation about this as well, about going out in the world and getting bombarded by everything else. You know, as Catholics, we're called to evangelize, spread our faith. I've always said that before we can go out and evangelize anybody else, we need to evangelize ourselves. We need to understand the faith. But here we are. You and I are discussing the scriptural reading program. A person's going to sit down and go through this, we hope. And then they go out in the world and get dumped on.
Right.
That's a very difficult thing. I mean, I face it every day where... in the path of life that I'm in, you know, I'm recording this show today. I'll be writing some things for a couple clients later on today, Catholic, obviously. But then there's that other life we lead that's outside there in the world. And the world's telling us, you know, worry about yourself, don't worry about anybody else, do what you want, because as long as you're not hurting anybody else, fine, yada, yada, yada. We all know about relativism and all that. How can this reading program help with that?
Well, and in my mind, that makes it all the more critical, because those people who are going to dump on us are going to do it anyway. And if we aren't grounded in something solid, you know, if we haven't built our house on that rock, then when we go out there, it is so easy to get caught up in the messages that we receive in the culture, you know, whether it's, you know, through the entertainment industry, the government, even, my goodness, you know, everywhere we go, there are messages that are antithetical to the Catholic faith. And, you know, we are truly in a time where we are being persecuted. And, you know, I mean, the powers that be seem to be lining up against Catholics in particular and Christians in general. And, you know, we need to be prepared for that. And, you know, it's happening. And if we center ourselves on what's important, this allows us to, first of all, know our faith, and just that knowledge and living it out in and of itself is evangelization. You know, I mean, just when you meet someone and they are solid, you know it, and it inspires you. You know, so without a word, we can evangelize. Not that I'm saying there's not a place for that conversation. Of course there is. But, you know, we have to take care of our own home first. We have to evangelize our children and ourselves. And the only way we can do that is to really have a solid understanding of our faith and to be living it out. And, you know, the argument I try to make here is that, you know, going through the motions of attending Mass, while, yes, the source and summit of our faith is the Holy Eucharist, we can appreciate it so much more by, you know, taking the wisdom of the ages and helping ourselves to understand it and appreciate it and to live it in a much more full way. You know, I mean, we receive grace, but the more open we are to that grace, the greater it will impact our lives. And spiritual reading helps us to, you know, open ourselves up to truth in that way.
Right. You know, and you're right. We are in a period that there's other books out there that talk about this spiritual warfare. You know, people think about persecution. I think their mind all automatically goes back to the Roman Empire and the lions and the tarred and set on fire. That happens. Indeed, it does.
Right.
We've seen it with ISIS and the Christians on the beach and the beheadings a year ago. It does happen,
yeah.
But in the United States, we're lucky enough to have that not in our shores. But, you know, philosophically, mentally, and theologically, we are under attack.
Right, right. Yeah, in our Spiritual Direction Book Club, we are reading Father Barron's Seeds of the Word, or Bishop Barron, I'm sorry. And just the entire section I just read were several, each article, it's a culmination of posts that he ran. Each one is about a particular thing that happened within the culture that demonstrates that, you know, this world is not our end and we need to be fighting the battles in the culture, but then also recognizing what our true end is. You know, we need to be living out our faith and we need to be defending it as well. So it's amazing the things that are going on in this world today.
Right. So we're going to take a quick break. And the one thing I'll say to close this segment out is you've given people a fantastic tool to be able to do the grounding we've been talking about. So thank you for that, Vicki. And we're going to be
super,
right.
Thank you.
We'll be right back after this short break. You've been listening to Off the Shelf with Pete Sox, a Catholic Book Blog.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf. I'm your host, Pete Sox, a Catholic book blogger, and we've been talking to Vicki Burbach about her book, How to Read Your Way to Heaven, an excellent tool to get you grounded for the times we live in today, as we spoke about last segment. And Vicki, this segment and this closing segment, I'd like to talk about the program itself, some of the books in it, and briefly before we get into that, there's actually some options on how to go about this. You have a 5-year program, 1-year program, 3-year program in here, but to avoid confusion on people's part, you're not shrinking the 5 years into shorter years, correct?
No, not at all. So I created it originally for myself as a 5-year program. But I did make it so that if someone wanted to, they could start with the 5th year, which is about prayer. So you could either start with learning the faith or start, you know, focusing on your prayer life, either way. And if you started with the 5th year, which is on prayer, you would read through the entire New Testament. You'd read through the section of the Catechism that focuses on prayer, and then some amazing books on prayer. Would be that year, you know. So the idea is that someone who's a little nervous about diving into a 5-year program, you know, could kind of dip their toes in the water by committing to a 1-year program. And it's, you know, it's my conviction that by the time they finish that, they would want to go back to page one and start the 5-year program because, you know, they just see the rewards that they would gain from spiritual reading in that year's time. So then they can do that without missing a beat, go back to year one and begin. And, you know, when you said there were other options, there are blank lines on each day so that, you know, if you had read the book that we're reading for that time, the spiritual reading book, you could substitute another from, you know, we have 2 appendices in here with some fabulous ideas. Or if you have, you know, sometimes people like me have a stack of books by their nightstand that they need to read through, you know, they can discern where those might fall into the spiritual reading program. And, you know, so you can substitute. Or in my case, you know, my idea was to go to a 5-year program over and over and over again because it's a lifetime journey. So, you know, there are a couple of blank lines for each day to, you know, to put a new book in there. Perhaps if you had read Rome Sweet Home before and wanted to read something else, then you can lay out your own option for that, you know, for that few weeks there.
Yeah.
Where we were reading Rome Sweet Home. So.
Right. And I don't know if you picked on it. I chuckled on it when you said about the stack of books next to your nightstand. If you're a book reviewer like me, that's a little more like having your father-in-law build you 3 bookcases to put all the books in.
That's right.
So
that's right.
So I want to dive in a little bit here to give people a sense of what it is you're recommending they read. And that it's I'm not going to tell them everything, but the list is fantastic. Year one, we're looking at Rome Sweet Home by Scott and Kimberly Hahn. It was a good, I love that book myself. You have A Map of Life by Frank Sheed, Theology for Beginners by Frank Sheed, The Spirit of Catholicism by Carl Adam and Justin McCann, The Great Heresies by Hilary Belloc, Practical Theology by Peter Kraft. Moving on to year two, a couple other ones. There's another Peter Kraft, Christianity for Modern Pagans. Year three, we got The Diary of a Country Priest. We got Covenanted Happiness by Cormac Burke. I mean, the list goes on and on. You got The Story of a Soul in here for year four. And one thing I want to point out with people, again, these are spread out. The Story of a Soul, you're going to read in 4 weeks, a little snippet every day. Going back to year one, Practical Theology by Peter Kraft, that's a 10-week read. So all of this is manageable. My question to you is, you constructed this 5-year program. How in the world did you decide what books to put in it?
I used Father C. John McCloskey's Catholic Lifetime Reading List for my original program. And 90% of this is still the original program. And when I solicited several people, you know, that we look to for insight and guidance in the Catholic Church today. You know, Peter Kraft is one of them. Mike Aquilina is another. Jennifer Fulweiler, who, you know, atheist turned Catholic, who, you know, a lot of people like to listen to her these days. And just many people, Father Mike Schmidt, Father Timothy Gallagher. I solicited all these people, you know, probably about 25 people, and asked them, what would be your favorite books that you would recommend in each of these pillars of the faith? So, you know, many people contributed. I think we had probably 25 contributors. And so those books, I took a couple of those and substituted some that I'd had in my original plan. So a couple of those aren't in Father McCloskey's list. I think Scripture Alone might be one of them by Joel Peters, just because I think in our time, that that notion of sola scriptura seems to be, you know, it's just out. People are talking about it a lot, and a lot of people think it's, you know, it's kind of between me and Jesus. It's not necessarily, you know, we don't need this tradition. You can hear echoes of that. It kind of seems like this world of independence has, you know, kind of closed people in on themselves. And so I did include that book. I was tempted to include Where We Got the Bible. By Graham, is it Graham? But I didn't include that, Henry Graham. I didn't include that one. I was hesitant to include anything that wasn't on the list that I consider the experts to have recommended. So although, you know, one of my favorite books is The Secret Diary of Elizabeth Lesore, that's not on the list, although I do talk about Elizabeth Lesore. So I tried to just stick to, Father McCloskey's Lifetime Catholic Reading List and the recommendations of these other, we'll call them experts, but these other, you know, Catholics that we look to for wisdom oftentimes.
So over a year's time, you're looking at really having people read, I don't know, briefly looking at it, maybe 5, 6, 7 titles a year, depending upon how many pages are in each book. That to me seems very doable.
Right. You know, I tried to stick to, you know, I mean, it depended on the book. If it was a little heavier reading, it might just be a few pages a day in the book. If it's lighter reading, maybe 10 pages a day, you know, so just depended. And I did have each one of these books and went through them book by book to lay out assignments to what I would consider a reasonable amount of reading as a busy homeschooling mom. You know, I wanted to make sure that I had enough time to do this. So it should be workable for anyone with a busy schedule.
Right. And then once you get through it the first time, and if you don't feel like going back through, you mentioned there are other options, and that's in the one appendix called the recommended reading list, which we've been talking about. You have another 98 books in this list. And I'm telling you, Practical Theology by Peter Kraft, The Ultimate Catholic Quiz, 100 Questions Most Catholics Can't Answer by Carl Keating, The Spirit of Early Christian Thought by Robert Louis Wilkin, Principles of Catholic Theology, Building Stones for Fundamental Theology by Joseph Cardinal Ratzinger, i.e. Pope Benedict, Spirit of Liturgy by Pope Benedict, Father Elijah by Michael O'Brien. I could sit here and go on and on. If somebody picks one of those books, do you have anything in your book that tells them a recommended breakdown of how much they should be reading a day? Is it just a chapter? Is that the simplest thing to do?
I think what you do is, if you were, say, say, for instance, Rome Sweet Home takes about 4 weeks. That's how we have it scheduled out. You know, so if I substituted another book in here because I'd read Rome Sweet Home and I'm going through the program a second time, I might try to find a book that's of equitable size, you know, and kind of break it down, you know, just divide it. It's really just a matter of math, approximately, you know, divide it by, you know, four for how many weeks and then how many 5 days a week you're going to read and kind of lay it out and make sure that's doable for you. You know, that's kind of how I do it. That's how we do it at spiritualdirection.com. I've been moderating an international spiritual reading book club for probably about 5 years. And that's how I lay out our books. We essentially try to read about 25 pages a week so that people can do other reading as well. It's not so overwhelming that they can't handle it. You know, so sometimes we'll take 14 weeks to go through a book. We've gone through books in 20 some weeks before. It's just a matter of slowly and surely digesting, you know, some great wisdom. And, you know, it's amazing what it does for your spiritual life. So,
yeah, and again, I think a point needs to be made. You're talking a 5 day week, not a 7 day week.
Yeah, I did lay the assignments out for a 5 day week, essentially, because in my mind, I thought, you know, I've subscribed to a lot of those, you know, like reading the catechism or the Bible in a year where you receive an email and it'll have something on it. And, you know, I'd get them piled up and then I'd just give up. So I just felt like if I laid out 5 days a week and I got a little behind, I could make up those days on, you know, that reading on the other 2 days, or if I needed to spread it out a little bit and I wanted to do a 7 day week, I could do that. But it was just a matter of flexibility. Mm-hmm. That's why I did that.
So where are you at in your reading plan right now? How many cycles have you gone through? Just curious.
Oh, here's funny. I've probably gone through it 1.5 times. And right now I am on, when I received my book, this was kind of fun. I went from the crude spiral bound version of my program where I had typed it up to the pretty, you know, laid out version that Sophia Institute Press did, which I was really happy with the job they did for putting this together. So I am on year one, week three. So I just started over. I placed, and in this case, I put our spiritual direction book in here, Seed to the Word, which is essentially catechetical. For my first book, because I was reading it anyway. So I just wanted to go through and do it with the actual book, because I've had this spiral bound version I've been using forever. And so this was kind of fun to pick this up and get started all again. So I just dropped it all and went to day one.
Awesome. So we've alluded to what you do other than just this book that you have out. So can you tell people where they can find you?
You know what? Just about any Catholic books. I've heard it's in probably 150 Catholic bookstores across the country. You can Google it and find it many places online. You know, I mean, I know it's on Amazon, but Target, Walmart, wherever. You can pretty much find it anywhere. I always recommend the local Catholic bookstore to keep them going. And Sophia Institute Press, obviously, you can also find it on their website as well.
And you yourself can also be found at Spiritual Direction website, correct?
SpiritualDirection.com, and I also blog at PelicansBreast.com.
Awesome. Vicki, thank you so much for spending some time with me today, getting us familiar with this reading plan for life, spiritual life. Any closing comments?
I think I'm good. I really appreciate your time. It was great talking with you.
All right. And maybe we can have you back on another episode, and we could talk about one of the books you're doing in your reading club, perhaps, over at Spiritual Direction.
That'd be great. Awesome. That'd be great. I appreciate it.
Well, again, thank you, Vicki, for spending some time with us today. Listeners, you've been listening to the Off the Shelf. I'm Pete Sox, the Catholic book blogger. And until next time, God bless.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.